Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning, YK Delta and beyond. This is another edition of Talkline. I'm Diane McGachran.
And I'm Peter Atchett. Good morning.
And we're here, ready, willing, and able.
I didn't hear myself.
Uh-oh. We don't hear Peter. Now we don't hear Diane. What's going on? We're going in and out. Can you go ahead and test it, Peter?
Yeah. I
don't hear him either. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, we're ready, willing, and able to take your calls, hear your points of view, take your emails as well. And my goodness, what a day we have ahead of us, I think.
Yes, I can.
Oh,
hear
there
us.
You go.
Yes.
Oh, well, welcome to the show, Peter.
Okay, yeah.
Yay. Okay, so anyway, yes, so Peter will give you the numbers because he has them memorized.
Yes. The numbers to call today will be 543-5985. That's 543-KYUK. 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954.
And you can email us at, there we go, I'm going in and out. You can email us at radio@kyuk.org. There you go. And a couple of things is if you're on the line, I don't know if I'm totally being heard. Okay.
No, you're good.
When you're on the line waiting to get on the show, you're not going to hear the show happening. So that's just a technical glitch that we are going to repair. And also that we only have a couple of phone lines. So if you call in and it rings and rings and rings and that's it, that's because the other lines are already taken up. It's not that somebody's ignoring your call. Yeah. So.
And then you can email or call in anonymously if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've been getting calls from all around the region, you know, pretty much, you know, and even beyond.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Good to hear where you're calling from.
I'm going to give a shout out to my neighbor, Henry.
Okay.
Who's working on a little house. So, hey, Henry. All right. Henry's going to have a good day. My sister, Joanne, might be listening in Springfield, Missouri.
Oh, cool.
So, hi, Joanne. Yeah. So there we go. And our lines are open. I do have an email that came in, so I'll go ahead and read that.
Okay.
This is regarding KYUK News reporting on city. I want to express my displeasure on how KYUK reports city council news. I think I'm objective and neutral, and my observation is that certain reporters are for certain council members. I recall KYUK News trying to break the news at AVCP about how they almost went under. I confer with some citizens and they feel the same way. KYUK News puts a spin on what's happening at council because I feel they are connected. In the end, this type of reporting deters some listeners from pleading during the pledge drive. Okay. I know it made my decision. I request that report what happened and not put a bias for certain people or organizations. Okay, good.
Okay.
All right, thank you for that email. Mm-hmm. And we have Vicki on the line. Good morning, Vicki from Bethel.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Vicki.
Before you get going and get all wrapped up in a hot discussion, I want to let everybody in Bethel know that the 10th annual Sudan Medical Relief fundraiser is happening next Thursday night. Doors open at 5:30. It's a great chance for the whole community to get together with Dr. Jill Seaman, who is in town and going to do a slideshow. So please join us for dinner, everybody, and a live auction, a silent auction. We've got lots of good prizes. I just heard from Joe Dale. He's donating 2 loads of sand. So it's not all fluff. It's not all art and cakes, which are wonderful. We've got some very wonderful practical things that people can use, like dirt and oil.
Dirt and oil. Hey, now, Vicki, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Dr. Seaman does? I know she was a MacArthur Genius Foundation winner, recipient some years ago, but tell us a little more about what she does.
Well, she's been running for 20 years now, a clinic mm-hmm. over in South Sudan, in Old Fengik, South Sudan, Africa. And as many of you already know, that's a very distressed part of the world. The original organization that she was with tried to ban everybody from being there because it was so dangerous, and that's when she went out on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, through famine and war and disease, Dr. Seaman has kept the clinic open, improved it, built a new one, trained indigenous people to work there and provide medical care for their own people. So it's, and many, many people from Bethel have gone over there. I had a long conversation with Ashley Fairbanks last night. And of course, Katie Basil was over, and Hoppy Whitman. A lot of people have gone over to help out. And so I think it's a charity that our community is very vested in. And the great thing about your money is that 100% of it goes to buy medical supplies and equipment and, you know, nutritional supplements. It isn't like some administrator takes a piece of the action,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to get 5,000 colored brochures mailed to you every year. You'll get one request a year for donations, and this is that time of year.
Wow.
Okay, and it's the case that she works 6 months. She's a doctor here at YK Health Center, and then she spends the other half of the year in South Sudan, right?
That's correct. And in the meantime, different people come over and work in the clinic.
While she's here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know whether all of them make it the whole time because it's really demanding. People walk for days to be seen at this clinic.
Yes. Wow. Yes. It's really remarkable. It's a really nice event then on Monday night, right, at the Cultural Center?
Yeah. And the admission, well, the dinner tickets are like at the door, and the max any one family, and it should be immediate family members, pay is $50. So if you bring three kids, you're still, the max you'll pay is $50. It's $20 a head, 10 for kids, 12, and 5 for kids 5 and under.
Okay, and Jill will be there and will be doing a slide presentation of her work, right?
Yes. And,
that's awesome.
And that slide presentation is open to the public, Diane. They don't have to come for dinner.
Okay.
The silent auction, doors open at 5:30, and the silent auction goes until 7. At 6:30, we'll have the live auction at 7, Jill's talk. And we'll have kids and families out of there at 7:30. You'll get a chance to leave. If people want to stay and visit with Jill, they can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, what a nice event. Okay, thank you.
Okay, hope to see you there, Peter.
Thank you.
See you there, Diane.
Yep, Monday night. All right.
Thursday night.
Wait, when is this again? Next Thursday.
Oh. Next Thursday night.
I said Monday because I keep
next
thinking
Thursday
it's the 20th.
I know.
Like,
I'm glad you did that because I should have closed with that anyway.
It's next Thursday night, the 23rd, right?
22nd.
No, 22nd.
Oh, my God, I'm going to blow this for everything.
No,
okay.
No. It's great because then we get to say it over again. It's Thursday night, the 22nd.
I have a calendar right in front of me, too, and I'm not even looking at it.
It is not at the Moravian Church. It is at YPC.
So okay.
At the Cultural Center this year.
Okay.
And this is the first year in a long time that's been at the Cultural Center.
All right. Thank you, Vicki.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Next Thursday, August 22nd.
Yes.
Thank you.
Got it.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Have a good day. All right. Next up, we have Leonard from Antioch. Good morning, Leonard. Welcome to Talkline.
Mm. Yeah. Good morning, Bethel.
Hey. Good morning, Leonard.
Yeah. You know, I think this was brought up before with Medicaid. You know, between Medicaid and Medicare?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, you know, with Medicaid, they give you a salary cap on how much you got to make, like, for instance, me and my wife. And then we don't qualify because we're just few dollars above the limit, right?
Yeah.
You know, what they should do if they're going to do that, they should, when they put a cap on that, they should do it like, you know, your yearly monthly bills, like your water, your sewer, your lights, and whatever, you know, after that, then put a cap on that after your bills. Just show proof of your bills every month. Because I don't think that's right. For instance, Medicare, yeah, I get Medicare, sewer. But they don't pay my fare to Anchorage or hotel or wherever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of hurts a lot of other people. I know that. You know, for me, I know me and my wife, we're always struggling if we have to go to Anchorage. If it wasn't for our friends and relatives, you know, giving us points, you know, with Raven.
Yeah.
And again, one more thing, okay?
Please.
One more, and with talking about points with Raven, you know, they have 50 points one way to go to Anchorage. And a lot of times it's never there. You have to use 100 points. And that's the way it is. They did try and use up whatever little points you have. Because there's never 50 points each available. Never. And another thing with Raven. You know, you send freight with Raven out of Anchorage. And they don't tell you it wouldn't get to your, you know, hub station like Aniac.
Mm-hmm.
Like for 10 days, 2 weeks. They should say something. You know, you probably won't get it for 2 weeks. Then we can go other places like Everett's or Northern Air Cargo. So, yeah, okay, that's what I had for today.
Oh, I'm glad you called, Leonard, because I think other people probably share that frustration with the Medicare. And I'm sorry it's like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
Thank you much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Okay. So, all right. There's a Alaska Department of Fish and Game Division of Commercial Fisheries has an announcement. I'm going to read this. And if you want to call in and say, I think this just affects a small number of people, but this is an announcement from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Bethel for fishermen in the Kuskokwim area. The Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Working Group unanimously supported these management actions at the most recent meeting held in Bethel. And here is the announcement. Commercial fishing will open in Subdistrict 1A for 5 8-hour periods with 6-inch or less mesh gill nets that may not exceed 50 fathoms in length and not more than 45 meshes deep. So for Wednesday, the next opening here would be Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Then there'll be one Friday, August 23rd, next week, 11 to 7 p.m. on Friday. And then there'll be one on Saturday, the 24th, 11 to 7 p.m. So next Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. This Subdistrict 1A, this area is defined as the portion of District 1 upstream of regulatory markers located at Bethel to Alaska Department of Fish and Game regulatory markers at the mouth of Bogus Creek. There are no commercial salmon processors in the Kuskokwim management area at this time. This opportunity is being provided for those individuals registered with the department as catcher/sellers. And I think you have to have, ahead of time, you need to know who you're going to be selling to.
Yes,
right?
You need to line up your buyer before you go out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to be registered with Department of Fish and Game. Mm-hmm. Before you can be issued a commercial license that you...
Yeah, so this must have been... And I'd never seen this at AC before, but there were a couple of bins, iced fresh salmon.
Yeah.
Silvers.
Yes.
For $15 a fish.
That's what I've seen, too. So yeah. that looked delicious.
It looked good. They looked very clean and fresh. So. They'd already been gutted and just ready to take home.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, that is an opening, and that opening is, again, next Wednesday, August 21st. Okay.
Okay.
Got that one, that announcement. We might repeat that later.
Our lines are open, but John. We do have a caller. From Bethel, we have good morning. Say good morning to John.
Good morning, John.
Oh, good morning, you guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hear you guys every weekend, and listen to all this controversial stuff up there.
Oh, I know. It's all hot.
But, you know, I was just wondering, why do our people don't have our own store around here? You know, we don't even have a native store. Well, not that kind of native store we had up here at housing, but the kind of native store that sells our food.
Oh.
You know, we got all these people coming from China. We got some people from Korea. We got some people from Cambodia. We got some people from all walks of this world, and we don't even have a native store because of the, I think it's prejudice not to have it. And they're very discriminant for our people not to have a store around here. You know, I think about that once in a while. And here we are ordering our Chinese food that gets us sick. And sometimes, you know, and it's just, I don't know why the...
Now tell us, what would you stock in a store like that?
Why is this government against our food? You know, why can't we buy our own food in a store? You know, it might be a lot cheaper than the ones that we see in AC or Swanson's. But, you know, those are the things that our native people need.
Mm-hmm.
We can't live with all this store-bought food that comes from way down south, 1,000 miles away, and never know who's touching that food. You know?
What kind of food would you like to see in a store?
Oh, native food.
Yeah?
Native foods. You know, nowadays we don't even have dry fish in our... Most people don't have dry fish in their freezers.
Mm.
And we... about half of them are not even hanging fish. And I'm probably one of them, too.
Mm.
So
you could go...
All this bad things happening... And worse things are happening to us up here in Alaska. And it really contradicts the way we live.
Mm.
And our lives are very important as your regulations and everything.
Mm.
Probably even better. You know,
yeah.
The laws that really work around here really contradicts the way we live. So have a nice day, and thank you very much. And it's always nice to speak out the mind.
Yeah, Boyana, thanks for calling, John.
And to your partner, mm-hmm. Have a nice day.
Yes,
thank you.
Diane. Okay.
Okay, wow. That was a really good mm-hmm. point that he's making. I always wondered when I see kids eating lunches that are from federal surplus, burritos and stuff like that, I always go, why can't they have, like, subsistence food for lunches in all the village schools? Okay, that's the question to ponder. Okay, but we have Howard on the line. Thank you for waiting, Howard. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Howard.
Hey, talking about native foods, how come they're not selling it?
Mm.
They have, like, real strict laws against local stuff being sold, salt fish, half-dried fish, strips, flat fish, smoked fish, you know, frozen fish, fresh fish, all that stuff here, they can't sell it. They have to try and get it themselves. A lot of people don't have their transportation to get out there and fish, and they don't have nets. They don't have the money for the nets or the gas or the motors or boat, you know. But really, I would like to see a lot of salt fish, all that stuff sold, you know, at a to build our economy here, you know, and have our own resources out here sold rather than the liquor store, the bar everybody's complaining about, you know. Let's do something to get something going here that will help the people that live here
mm-hmm.
and love that food.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So we go to the refrigerator section, there'd be tubs of agurok. Different kinds, and yeah.
sure. I mean, in the store, yeah, because they sold in Anchorage. They had a store on old Seward Highway. It's all native foods from all over Alaska.
Wow,
but they
really?
Closed it, though, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Kings, dog salmon,
frozen
whitefish.
Oh my gosh!
Everything.
Oh my gosh!
Muck duck, yeah, seal oil.
Yep.
I remember that. It used to be called George's Market.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
I wish they would do that out here because it would really do good, I think, because everybody's craving the native foods, you know.
So much healthier.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I just wanted to put my two cents there, all right?
Glad Alrighty. You did, Howard. Thank
yes.
you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. I'd like to see containers of Salunuk. That's my favorite. Okay. Alex from Bethel, good morning. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning, Diane. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Alex.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, and I am going to do my best to bring this subject on the table. Hopefully, it'll be discussed more than this time of the year.
Okay.
I would like to talk about what was brought up several years ago in Bethel. It's called Federal Rural Determination, which would be in consideration of subsistence opportunities. And in the past, there was a maybe I would call it consideration population level, which is 7,000 or over. What my understanding was at the time when I used to work with Fish and Wildlife Services that when a community like Bethel at that time reaches population level of 7,000 people or over, you would have to be determined whether or not the residents of that community is eligible to harvest fish and wildlife for subsistence. That was discussed here in Bethel at one time during the, I believe it was federal subsistence regional advisory councils. At the time, if I remember correctly, I haven't received any update or haven't seen any update on that, is that you would like people of Alaska would like to see that ceiling of 7,000 population or over raised to 10,000 people or over. But I haven't seen anything in my mailbox or elsewhere. I don't know if there might be one. What it would mean is if that determination is reached by the federal agencies, Bethel and its boundaries would have same restrictions like that of Anchorage area for harvesting fish and wildlife for personal use, and in our case, subsistence use. So this is very important. I feel it's very important for people in the community, and including the nearby communities like Oscarville and Neponsgeck. This is, you know, this topic is worth discussion,
yeah.
And worth it will be worth it if the communities, like during AFN convention, AVCP convention, invite U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and those that are involved with them to explain what our future looks like for Bethel.
Yeah.
You know, it does not mean, that does not mean that the original people of Bethel who are enrolled in ONC, it means it would probably mean the total population of Bethel, including non-natives who moved here, because when non-natives or American Indians move here to Bethel and become a resident of Bethel, Alaska resident for a year, they become eligible to harvest fish and wildlife under subsistence opportunity. This is very important topic, and I hope Fish and Wildlife and Fish and Game and regional advisory councils are listening, so that, you know, they will bring this up in the future. And I hope AVCP and AFN will do something about keeping people informed about okay. what their future looks like. I will shut up and listen.
Okay, you're just in time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you have a valid point there, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I think Bethel is kind of, from what I hear, we're nearing 7,000 people, maybe.
Yeah, and that.
So, and then I haven't seen that regulation, though. I would like to, you know, I would like to read that regulation and see what it all say.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody could explain it to us.
Yeah.
That knows more about it, maybe.
Alex is good about
keeping
stuff
on top
like
of
that.
Those things
yeah.
like that. Yes, we appreciate his being around here.
So I'm going to give a shout-out to my brother, Michael.
Who?
Yes, Michael. He was down in the Missouri area, and he's listening to the show. So, and my brother came here one time. He's a chef. He's really and really funny.
Wow.
Really funny guy. So, anyway, hi, Michael. Okay, so let's see what the weather is. I mean, if you look out the window, spectacular.
Yeah, it does.
And we're going to go to a station break here in a minute. I'm looking for there's the weather. Okay. Let's see. When we're waiting for the weather to call up here.
But we have clouds that are moving, kind of from the southwest, yes,
yeah.
direction looking. And then they look like they got a pretty good rate going.
Okay. Oh, we're not going to be able to see the weather because we have to put a password in,
yeah.
and we don't have that. So
yeah. But
sorry about
it
that.
Looks
maybe
promising though.
Someone will come in and fix that up for us. Yeah. And yesterday I watched the geese. Now they're leaving. I notice them every time they come. I notice them when they start to go.
Yeah. I think what they're doing is they're eating.
Yes. I saw them settle on the tundra.
Fattening up or
yeah
so, and then they have a lot of bears yet left.
See, there you go again. Like last week you did not like me trying to say fall was coming, and now again you do not want to say then
fall,
you know,
is beautiful.
I just thought they were beautiful. I saw them. I'm not going to say anything more about where they were. Who knows where they were going or why I see them now and not in June, but okay. Gotcha.
So
we're going to go to a station break, and we'll be right back. You're welcome to call, and if you do, you'll be put on hold. And you're listening to Talkline at KYUK.
6:40 a.m.
Waka, are your vaccines up to date? Immunizations give kids and adults their best shot at health. They are covered as free preventative care under insurance. Learn more at healthcare.gov or talk to your Indian health provider. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Hi, I'm Claire Sumanjok from Kugilingak, the best in public radio for the Kuskokwim Delta is found right here on KYUK 640 in Bethel, Alaska.
The City of Bethel regular election will be held on October 1st, 2019. There are 4 city council seats up for election, with terms ending October 2021. Declaration of candidacy packet information will be available on the City of Bethel website and at the City Clerk's office on July 29, 2019. Declaration of candidacy filing period begins 8 a.m. on August 4, 2019 and will close at 4 p.m. August 20, 2019. For information regarding the October 1, 2019 regular city election, please contact the Bethel City Clerk's office at cityclerk@cityofbethel.net, phone 907-543-1384, or go to the website www.cityofbethel.org. The City Clerk's office location is City Hall, 300 State Highway, Bethel.
Okay, thank you, everyone. We're back to Talk Line, KYUK, 640 on your AM dial. And today's weather is going to be partly sunny, a slight chance of rain in the morning, but we're past the morning. So patchy fog, highs in the lower 50s to lower 60s, southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. So we're going to go over to another caller, Susan from Bethel. Thank you, Susan.
Hi. Yeah, I heard earlier you guys discussed about that Anchorage market that had native foods.
George's? Yes. Was that it?
Yeah. They had special permission, and they had, like, muktuk and food from all over, like the kelp eggs. And they had from all over the state. And they had special permits.
Oh.
They had special permits to do this. And every once in a while, there'd be a little human interest article in the paper about it. But it always ended with this couple that ran it wasn't getting any younger. And they were looking for someone to take it on and continue it. And, you know, it would be ideal if even if one of these village corporations did it and hired people that lived in Anchorage under their corporation because, you know, call it local hire. I just think there's a lot of potential for the villages here to have things going on in Anchorage. Like that brief time we had that liquor store out here that only sold Alaska beer and wine. And that was it.
Oh.
Now, that's a wonderful tourism niche. Somebody could do that downtown in Anchorage. I remember talking to Anna about it. And if BNC ran something like that in Anchorage, hired BNC shareholders, there's lots of them in Anchorage.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, that's another potential to develop revenue out here is to put something on the road system. They all have corporate members living in Anchorage, either going to school or moving there or whatever. And it would be just a win-win all the way around. But, yeah, I remember that market, and I don't know if it's still there or not, but if not, it's because that couple just kind of, they wanted to retire and go on to do something else. They dearly loved doing it.
Wow.
And they would visit with people and learn a lot about the culture, all the cultures. But I just remember periodically reading about it in the paper and how sad it was because they just couldn't find anyone to continue it.
Mm.
And I think the potential is still there.
Huh.
And I think any entrepreneuring listeners from any of the villages could really think about centering some things in Anchorage. And I remember one time a friend of mine was working at one of the buildings office complexes. I can't remember which one. But I think it was a couple from Mountain Village or someone that went over there and just set up a coffee shop and did quite well with that. And then there was another family I knew that moved over there and did a apartment rental janitorial contracts or something, and they did an awesome living from that. So the potential of using this Anchorage as a income revenue for and that village store was so cool because the customers were homesick for their native food or they were visiting Anchorage and they went over there, and it had a very loyal part of shoppers. A lot of Alaska natives, you know, live in Anchorage and in the valley. So, and down in Kenai. So they'd hit that store. So it can sustain itself. There's enough people.
Wow, Susan, that's amazing. You
know
so many kinds of things.
I don't know. Sometimes I don't have the right information, but another thing
good.
That's
That was good, though.
Yeah.
Now, we have food bank tomorrow from 10 till noon. And anyone can help. Sometimes the help is needed in waves, and there's dull moments in between. But that's where you can sit down and socialize with elders because we let them kind of stay and have coffee and just enjoy themselves.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's from 10 till noon. And I understand why KHC is doing something at Pinky's Park at noon. Till I think 3, and it's going to have family fun and prizes and food and all that. So it's a good fun, free day for everybody to enjoy and not worry about digging in your pocket. I think YKHC is celebrating an anniversary. And
the 50-year anniversary.
Yeah, and, you know, there's this exciting things. I went and saw the hospital for the first time, the new one.
Oh.
And it's beautiful. It's beautiful, and the parking is good and everything. So. Anyone that hasn't even seen it yet, you know, they scored real good. The lobby and everything is so welcoming and culturally relevant. It's like when you go into the assisted living. They did such good artwork and stuff there, too. They're just really thinking about what works out here, you know.
I want to go and see it. I love the the front with the logo, the large, yeah. You know, kind of looks like
I don't know about their logo. Kind
oh,
of
I love the logo.
Reminds me of Rub-A-Dub-Dub, Three Men in a Tub. That's what it reminds
now,
me
see,
of.
Why did you say that? Now that's going to be what everyone sees when they see it. Oh, my
yeah,
God. Dag nabbit. I liked it. But I like how it is the, well, I like those Three Men in a Tub. It's really large. And on the dark wood background, it's just mm-hmm. really beautiful. So
yeah,
I can't wait to go see.
And I saw some cool things in the catalog I got in the mail the other day. I was going to share it with you. It was these red hats, you know, the Make America Great hats. It was these red hats, and one said, Make Red Hats Wearable Again.
Oh.
Okay, I don't know if I'm allowed to laugh at that. I'll have to talk
okay.
to my station manager.
Well, you're going to laugh at the next one. You can laugh at the next one.
Okay.
It said, make lies wrong again.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to let you guys go.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you, Susan.
All right. Bye.
Okay.
Susan yeah. said it, not me.
Good morning to
I
Susan,
just laughed.
Yes.
Okay. So, well, now
thanks
that, so I'm glad John brought up our previous caller about Native Food Day,
yeah.
because, a Native food store, because then it led to the fact that there was a store. And
yes.
I would have gone to it, too, because that's so interesting.
Yeah, we used to go
yeah.
there.
Yeah?
You know,
oh,
after,
you did? Uh-huh.
Yeah, several times. In fact, you stay in Anchorage for about, you know, after 3 days or something, you know, you start kind of craving for your food.
Yeah.
Your kind of food. And then so we used to go visit there, and then they'd have seal oil, muktuk, you know, both. And then beluga, you know. And some dried meats, you know, moose and
amazing.
Seal meat and, you know, and
yeah.
frozen whitefish, dried whitefish, you know. And that there was a good variety of native foods from not just one area, but all over Alaska.
Wow.
Even down, even from southeast, you know.
Yeah. That is really neat. So maybe someday some young entrepreneur
mm-hmm.
will find out how to get those special permits and will develop something like that here. So
cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've had a, we'll go ahead and give out the numbers again.
Yes.
We haven't done that.
We
now.
Have, our lines are open at this time, 543-KYUK. That's 543-5985, 543-2756, 800-995-8954.
And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. We'll read your email over the air. You may remain anonymous if you choose with both call and email. And we really appreciate, and I'm going to see if someone can come and open up the email here. We need another code for that to see if there's any. But right now we have Mary from Bethel. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I finally booked it. I really agree with that man. I couldn't catch his name about having a native food store. Like, the one in Anchorage is a good thing. It's still opened. But the thing is, why should we have to go to Anchorage? Especially for those of us who can't afford it, to go there to get native foods, why not have something right here in Bethel? And it's like another thing that goes with that is like when we're talking to somebody or at the meeting and we're speaking in our native language, we're often told, speak in English, but they don't say that to Asian people. They don't say that, and about the foods, they don't say that to the Asian people either. And after all, the people, there are a lot of immigrants, whom I call immigrants, that come and live in Bethel. They do a lot of good, but in the process, our native ways and traditions are pushed aside, and that should not happen. But man, it sure would be great if there was a native food store, or restaurant right here in Bethel. I'd never go anywhere else. But then, so we should really think about that. Especially there are a lot of people I know who cannot make it to go to Anchorage and other places. So like, can we stick with our traditional values and what's important to the native peoples up here and work from there? So, oh, and Peter, I've been meaning to ask you because I've been asking other people. You know, during the call-in show, a lot of people, when it comes to fishing, they talk about Kapunguk or Kapunuchik. What kind of fish is that? Because I've been asking people what kind of fish that is. Nobody can answer my question. So,
you know, Kakiyak are the silver that are running right now to Kapunguk. I'd have to research that.
That's a silver salmon is Kapunguk?
No. Kakiyat.
Oh, Kakiyat.
Yeah. That's silver salmon. Those are coming in right now.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll hang up and listen to other people. You all have a good day.
Okay.
It's a nice day out.
You too. Okay, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Alexi from Napakiak.
Good morning, Alexi.
Yes, good morning to you both.
Yes.
How are you two doing this morning?
Oh, we're
really,
fine.
Really well, thank you.
Well, that's good. Me, I'm trying to wake up.
Oh, okay. Come on now, it's 10:45.
I was up a long time. I'm always expecting this talk, so... Every Friday.
Okay. Yeah. But, thank you.
To what I wanted to say was the mining, pebble mining in Dillingham.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. The Dillingham, Bristol Bay area, okay, is the world's largest red salmon in the world.
Mm-hmm.
No other world cannot compare that in Bristol Bay. No mm-hmm. one. Not old, anyone in the world, in the nations. And those Bristol Bay people over there are protecting it.
Yes.
And they're still fighting that pebble mine. It's not over yet. It's not done yet. They're together, and they're getting help from Senator Murkowski, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
She's supposed to help us in any kind of situation that comes, that arises. That if we can't handle it and if need to be addressed, well, they got her and they got her attention. She went over there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was saying that the pebble mine, she's watching it now. He said, all the papers are not done yet. All the paperwork are not done yet, and that's what she was saying. And she doesn't want that pepper mine to be started there.
Okay.
So she's helping the people in Bristol Bay right now. Because
mm-hmm.
they don't want that pepper mine to start, because just in case something happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if something happens, that cyanide will kill everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we need her here too. I believe we need her. I believe we need her here too on Donald Gold.
Yep.
Nobody, it's just like turning the lights off. Nobody's saying nothing about Donald Gold anymore. But once it starts, it's going to start. We need to get that thing back, because if something happens, you know, that's it for our salmon. You're enjoying the salmon right now. You're catching them. They're healthy. Later on, no, when that dongo starts, you think you're going to be eating that again? I don't think so. Because sooner or later, something will happen. It always does. Because I looked at Canada, what they did to those native people's land. They can't even eat. They're dying. They're exposed to the poison. And that's what it's going to do to us, too, once that dongo starts. Because it's going to pollute the air, the water, the land. Once it starts, that's it. What it's going to pollute first is the water. Because they have to drain that. Whatever they use, they have to. They said they're going to treat it. Well, I don't know about treatment. It's not going to treat at all. Because there's heavy metal cannot be treated at one or at the same time. No. It's impossible. So once that starts, if that happens, anything happens to that dongo, if it ever starts, well, that's the history of your native food, people. It's the history, and you people enjoy it, and you guys are not fighting dongo. Well, this might be your last Dreyfus. Who knows? Are you guys not going to fight dongo for your subsistence? You might as well say goodbye to your subsistence. I'm getting into it too hard. Yeah, anyway, that's what I wanted to say, but okay. I wanted people's attention. What's going on?
Yes. Okay.
We need Senator here too to help us Native people. She's working for us, and that's what I think this needs to be raised up again, rise again, not going down.
Okay.
For both of you, and have you two have a nice day.
Thank you. You too,
just
Alexei.
In time, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Look at him. Exactly,
yeah, right.
5 minutes.
Exactly, 5 minutes, yeah.
All right, we're going to go to our next caller, Kathy from Bethel. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. This is Kathy Hansen.
Oh,
hey,
yes.
Good morning, Kathy.
I just wanted to give you an update. I don't know. I haven't been listening, sorry, but if nobody called in about this, the initial petition that went out to recall the governor has met its goal in 2 weeks. Now, however, they're going to continue to collect signatures for another week or so to have a cushion in case some of the ones that we have get thrown out because they're illegible or somebody, you know, wasn't actually a registered voter or something like that. So they want to have some extra names there. So to that end, tomorrow from noon to 3 at Pinky's Park, actually across the street from Pinky's, there will be a table set up with the big recall done levy signs and the opportunity for people to sign. Please don't think, oh, it's over, they don't need my signature now, I'll just walk on by. Really, some of our signatures will more than likely get thrown out for various reasons. So we want to make sure that we have plenty. And also, just as a way to take part in the process, folks, this is democracy. It's something you don't just sit at home to keep the democracy alive. You have to speak up, and sometimes you have to sign your name to things and get out there and be involved. So noon to 3, Saturday at Pinky's, across the street from the park, where there's going to be the big YK community celebration and all of that going on.
So, Kathy, would you mind sharing then what the next two steps will be and how people may need, and then people will be able to sign again when it goes to phase two?
Yes. So once this initial petition is certified, in other words, they've looked at all the names and said, okay, you have plenty, then we begin round two, and it's a petition process. This time, the number of signatures that we have to get is 71,000.
And there's 29,000 right now.
And we have 29,000 right now. But those 29,000 people who have already signed need to sign the second one also. Mm-hmm. So everybody needs to sign again. And if you didn't sign the first time, that's okay. Sign the second time. I think there will be a more coordinated and a statewide effort at this juncture because clearly we need to get out to our rural areas a lot more effectively mm-hmm. than just grabbing people here and there. So that's 71,000. And then once that has been reached and that has been certified, then the Division of Elections is required to have an election to vote on whether or not to recall the governor within 90 days.
So that'll be like a special ballot with a yes, basically unless, a yes or no.
If we have an election already scheduled, a statewide election within that time, then it would be a part of that. But if there is none, then the state has to have a special election, and that's yes, he goes, or no, he stays. Something
okay.
like that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. All right.
So everybody, keep your pens full of ink and keep your documents with you because you're going to be able to sign again. We're going to need you to sign Saturday if you haven't, and then down the road also.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. That's a pinky
star.
One more thing.
Yes.
I think the goal, the estimate was that we would have around 500 signatures from the Bethel,
uh-huh.
Bethel area. And the last amount I heard was a few days ago, and it was 450. But we have numerous petitions that are filled that hadn't even gotten turned in yet. So I think we clearly made our 500 goal and
okay.
exceeded that.
Okay.
Very Bethel. Good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Wow,
bye-bye.
Everybody's been on time today.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah, we've got our little clock going here. So we have an anonymous caller.
Okay.
I hope we don't recognize his voice and accidentally
no.
say his name. Her name,
okay.
his or her. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Anonymous.
Yes, hi.
Okay.
Colin, we all know that big game is open, like for the caribou and the moose coming around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For those pilots that fly up towards the headwaters from Bethel, in the past we have seen 180 Cessna swoop down on herd of caribou and National Guard helicopter circling a herd of caribou and swooping down. It kind of bothers us hunters out here because caribous have a migration route from their normal migration route. If planes and helicopters are stalling them, I ask the pilots if they do fly up towards the headwaters over their caribous migration route, they should at least, you know, stay at a high elevation not to spook them. Or be swooping down to harass the caribou because that stalls the caribou's migration route. And us hunters out here, we notice that because they show up later than normal. And a pilot shouldn't be out there swooping down on herds of caribou. And that was really bothering me. That's why I had to call in and let, you know, because hunters rely on, like, on a, they know when they're normally supposed to be showing up. But with harassment, they've been showing up later and later every year. And that's what I want to get out to the public. Okay, bye.
Okay, thanks. You know, I you know, if I'm not mistaken, that might be even against the law to do that. You
to
know,
buzz
to,
them like that?
Yeah, to harass or, you know, so,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, people should be, I mean, take a number of that plane if you can and report that into Fish and Game.
Get your binoculars on them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Is that another one? Or
is that an? Oh, that's the same anonymous.
Okay.
Okay. So just thank you, everyone, so much for your calls and the email that came in. Really appreciate it. There, we have a event next Thursday at the Cultural Center that's about South Sudan and a local doctor, Dr. Jill Seaman, who has been working there for probably over 20 years, and she's worked here for YK. And then just some people sharing the struggle with Medicare and not being able to have enough funding to actually make the trips to get the medical care they need in Anchorage. Some discussion about Native Food Store and finding out that Anchorage had a Native Food Store with the real stuff, which is really cool. And just some other things about, you know, some talk about Pebble Mine and potential loss of fish and then how that relates to Donlin. And then Saturday at Pinky's Park from noon to 3, if you want to sign the recall Dunleavy petition, you will be able to do that. You need to be a registered voter, but if you're not registered, you can register at the table. And then just asking or just noticing that planes, sometimes planes that might have tourists, are buzzing herds of caribou and that it's really disruptive to the caribou, but also to those people who might be in the middle of hunting and are down on the ground. So just a caution about that. So we have, we've, you know, covered quite a few different kind of things. Also tomorrow at the Lions Club is the food bank, and that's from 10 to noon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're about to go to another station break with our lovely music. And if you call in, please stay. You may be on hold, but hang in there until the break is over. It's just a minute or two. And this is Talkline on KYUK 640 on your AM dial.
Yes.
Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Looking for a great paying part-time job with flexible hours? Becoming a 2020 census taker may be right for you. More information at 2020census.gov/jobs. That's 2020census.gov/jobs. Census jobs with great pay and flexible hours help ensure everyone gets counted to strengthen your community. 2020census.gov/jobs. It's one way you can make a real difference in your community. This message sponsored by the U.S. Census Bureau.
The deadline for registering to vote or to update voter information in time for the October 1, 2019 election is September 1, 2019. You can register to vote in person at the City Clerk's Office, 300 State Highway, or online through State of Alaska Division of Elections website, www.gov.state.ak.us. For information regarding the October 1, 2019 regular city election, please contact the Bethel City Clerk's Office at cityclerk@cityofbethel.net, phone 907-543-1384, or go to our website, www.cityofbethel.org. The City Clerk's Office location is City Hall, 300 State Highway, Bethel.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, from our break. In our lines, oh, no, we have John Carter from EEK. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talk Line.
Yes, good morning. This is John Carter. I'm calling from EEK.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about what Alex was talking about earlier, and it was quite true. In my mind, this talks about the name of Mr. I completely forgot his name, but he was running for the representative down in Germany. I haven't met him or seen him in my life, but he was also running for the office one time. Like when I just came back from the local office, the postcard, I saw him. That came on the mail. I recognized his name mentioned on the card. As I was coming back, I noticed somebody walking down the street, the opposite direction that I was heading to. I called him because I recognized him on the card. Are you? He also recognizes the voice. He doesn't know me. He hasn't seen me in his life. He was probably down here due to political office. He also mentioned about the population. What Alex was talking about this morning, the city of Bethel was approaching 8,000. Recognition of tribal government is, and this is what talked about Washington personal down at Washington D.C. There was certain thing on the news itself that the governance body needs to be in the area of population. That's what this guy, the talk he used to be talking about. Otherwise, you would not have met the eligibility requirement. I don't know what that meant. I guess maybe that's what it is. The best thing to do is find out if met information for what he says it or talks about. Thank you very much.
Okay, John.
Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you.
John's a long-time caller. There's a few people that have been calling for years, and we really appreciate that. Next, we have a caller from Bethel. I think they're anonymous. Okay, caller from Bethel.
Hello?
Hi. You have to turn off your radio.
You know, we have the city bus here in Bethel, and they have those cubicles for bus waiting.
Mm-hmm.
They should put benches or chairs or something so elders can sit and wait for the bus.
Oh, what a good idea.
And some of us have canes and some of us have walkers. And they should put chairs to sit or bench. Because I saw a couple of people like just when we caught the bus, there was no seats and they had to sit on the ground.
Oh, no. Okay.
That's scary, but okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is a really good idea.
Yes. Good valid concern. You know, need
it. Yeah. Just a little bench in the cubicles.
You know, I think...
the waiting sheds.
I don't remember, but somebody told me that those places where people wait for buses were donated or came from a grant through ONC or...
Oh, really? Okay.
City of Bethel. I don't remember which, you know, so...
Nice. All right. Well, maybe that we could tack some benches onto that. You know, maybe that's something like at the high school, if they have a Votech shop or Ute, if they have a construction and trades, maybe they would make those benches and then distribute them to the cubicles.
Yay.
All right.
Sounds
there you go. Sunny from Bethel. Good morning, Sunny. Welcome to Talk Line.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. A wonderful day. Clouds are getting up higher, probably due to... morning fog, but beautiful day.
Yeah.
Hello to wonderful people, and just be safe on the road. Be careful of people walking, and so many blocks on the. Parked cars, parked vehicles, major problems we found. But just be careful around those and
blind
up through the trees. They're causing blind spots in many areas, which is pretty scary. So just be careful and have a wonderful weekend. Everybody be safe.
Okay. Thank you, Sonny. Well, that was it. Thank you.
Yes, there's a lot of construction going on yet, you know.
Yeah, that was a really nice call.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. And I want to thank anyone who, whenever when you're on a side street and you're trying to pull into Eddie Hoffman Highway,
yeah.
and then maybe there's a lineup
yeah.
because they're waiting for the pilot car, and people will let people in,
yeah,
which
that's
I appreciate
nice.
That.
Yes,
so
that's
thank
cool.
you to anyone who let me in. I
yes.
appreciate that, and then I try to let people in, too. Since you're just waiting mm-hmm. there anyway, you might as well let there be a space and just let someone slip in.
Yeah,
so.
That's good,
now, when
good
do they,
courtesy.
When do they start laying down the pavement now?
I really don't know. But I see they've been doing replacing a lot of the culverts that are under
mm-hmm.
the roads.
Yeah, so and that part's done.
Yeah, so.
Now it's just prepping the road, it seems like.
And then City of Bethel, the city building, or the one?
Oh, yeah, City Hall.
Yeah, that's going through a makeover out on the outside.
That looks sharp.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. And then the AC parking lot got changed a little bit. They put a culvert in so that you can't turn off of the road. You have to turn as if you're going to ID Variety, then turn in.
Yeah.
Which is a good idea, probably.
Yeah. I've been wondering about, like, AC's parking area, for instance, you know, does that belong to AC or, you know?
Good question, because it would be nice to have that parking lot dealt with.
Yes.
And
it's always
fixed.
That's a dangerous area.
It's a Thunderdome in that parking
yeah.
lot. I'm surprised more people don't get bumped by cars because there's backing up and driving through.
I've seen a couple of accidents around there, but
yeah.
luckily they weren't, like, fatal or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's a lot of activity there, and yes, you know, it should be dealt with.
Yeah. So we'll see. We haven't gotten as much email from people, so feel free to email us at radio@kyuk.org.
Our lines appear open.
Yep. Looks like
yes.
we have open lines.
We may be having a call coming in. We're not sure.
Yeah.
But, feel free to call the last part of the half hour or so. Remaining time usually goes pretty fast, so that's
yeah.
when a lot of people like to, you know, say whatever they have to say
mm-hmm.
during this period of time.
So fall swim lessons start on August 19th, which I think is Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I'll finish that and then we'll go to Shadi. Swim lessons start on August 19th. Registration is now open for all levels. Visit the ykfitness.org or you can call 543-0390 for schedules, prices, and registration. You can just go there too and probably find out. All right. So you have Shadi regarding the U.S. Census. So good morning, Shadi. Welcome to Talkline.
Actually, if it's okay with you, Diane, I'll just do both because you're mentioning the swim. Okay, so pool stuff. Our whole new slate of programs begins next week. So these include the swim lessons, like you were mentioning,
mm-hmm.
and our instructional programs, which require pre-registration. So we have three different instructional programs being offered this session. We have 6 to 9-year-old youth boxing. We have 10-plus youth boxing, and we have an introduction to salsa dancing.
Oh, my.
So the salsa dancing class was hot over summer. A lot of people took it, and they loved it. So we're looking to reprogram that and keep the positive movement building with salsa dancing, and that is Wednesday nights from 7:45 to 8:45 p.m., and you don't need a partner. So if you're just by yourself and you want to salsa dance and learn how to salsa dance, come to the fitness center.
Do you salsa?
Do I salsa?
Yeah.
Not in your traditional form.
Oh, what kind of form do you salsa?
I don't know. I don't have anything after that.
You don't. Oh, you. Just, what people know is they see what you're doing and it doesn't look like salsa.
Exactly. It's my own form of salsa dancing that I say is salsa dancing, but nobody else does.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. All right.
All of our swim lessons start next week, so this is a great time to register your children. If you don't get your children in these swim lessons, it'll be another 8 weeks before you can register again. So next week is huge for swim lessons.
And what age do those start? What age of swim lessons does it start at?
So we have swim lessons for 4 to 5 year olds all the way up to adults.
Okay. Good.
So 4 is the youngest that can register, and 16 plus adults can get in any classes. And I've been populating this information to Bethel Bargains. It's going on in Bethel and the Bethel bulletin board. So they should be archived in there if you're looking for the information. Or you can call the facility, or you can come to the facility.
Okay, good.
Last facility update is we have a professional lifeguard certification course coming up the first week of September. So the kids will be out of school. That's why we're programming it then. And this course, it's a 40-hour course, but it certifies you to jump right in as a lifeguard in our facility and anywhere in the United States that recognizes the Red Cross certification.
Wow.
You have to pass a pretest to be able to take it, and then on the back end, you have to pass the test to be a certified lifeguard. So that's a great class. Future employers like seeing lifeguards because it's the increased leadership position, and they're watching children. So it's a good thing to have on your resume. If any parents are listening that know their child needs a part-time job, really flexible, fun environment over here at the fitness center.
True. All right. Good.
And then lastly, the 2020 census is coming up, and it's going to start in January in Tuxedo Bay. And we have, the United States Census has a ton of jobs available for individuals all throughout the YK Delta. We have positions available in Bethel, and we have positions available in every single other village that's in the Delta. Most of the positions will be enumerators, so that's the traditional census taker that's going to be walking door to door and asking how many people live in the house and other questions. But right now, we need people to do those jobs. So we're going to have a recruitment / application period next Friday at the Bethel Job Center from 3 to 5 p.m. And there's a computer lab there, so we'll be able to help and assist individuals in applying to those positions. And if anybody has any other questions about the positions that are coming or just what the census is and what's the importance surrounding the census, they can reach out to me at any time and I'll give them information. But next Friday, August 23rd, from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Bethel Job Center, which is located in BNC Complex, Suite 112, we'll be doing a recruitment / census presentation / job application presentation next Friday from 3 to 5 p.m.
Okay.
Okay, so are you like one of the coordinators then?
I'm a recruiter.
Oh, so you're a recruiter.
My specific position is to tell people that there are jobs available and to get people to apply to those positions.
Okay.
Great.
Lots
okay.
of positions available. Oh, the pay is competitive, $28 to $31 an hour.
I know, the pay is really
good.
Really
good money, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Flexible hours, you can work for a week and be done, or you can work for 6 weeks.
Wow.
You know, so it's a pretty ideal position. It just doesn't, a lot of the positions aren't going to start till January, so something to consider.
Okay,
so
good.
When is the census starting?
January.
The census is going to begin January, I believe, 21st in Tuxedo Bay. So throughout the entire United States, the first person to be questioned is going to be, to my understanding, an elder in Tuxedo Bay.
Wow.
That's really, really neat.
Oh,
that's
my cool. gosh. The
yeah.
very first. Oh,
yeah.
my goodness.
And then it's just going to trickle down.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. Okay, yeah. well, great information.
Thanks
on
for taking my call, guys. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.
Very good.
Well, look, he got right into his 5 minutes. Okay,
yeah.
Michael, Mike from Bethel. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Talkline.
Hey, good morning. It's Mike Shantz calling.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Yeah, happy Friday.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, so I want to talk a little bit about the council meeting Tuesday night. I don't know if I haven't listened too much this morning, so I don't know if anybody else has called in on that or not. So
not
no
yet.
One.
Okay. So anyway, listening to the meeting on Tuesday night, there was a resolution that came up for the city to spend $157,000 to put lighting in Pinky's Park. And that would have done the whole complete job. So I understand that, you know, there was council members. They didn't have a full quorum there, but they had enough council members there to, you know, have a discussion about it. And for some reason, $157,000 was turned down for a very needed public safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys know that there's been a lot of bad behavior on that boardwalk
mm-hmm.
over the years. There's up to somebody lost their life out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it was, you know, there was a unique opportunity there that something could have got started and finished in one shot.
Yeah. Now, wasn't there, didn't there have something like ONC might have had some funding
okay,
as well?
There was, but my point is this, and I think that the vice mayor that night made a very good point. $157,000 to start and finish this job by this fall. It could have been done this year.
Hmm.
And, you know, the city is down there. They're spending $500,000 to pave the parking lot at City Hall, which you guys just talked about a little while ago about how good that was looking down there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's has nothing to do with public safety. You know, mm-hmm. they can drop $500,000 to do that, but they can't spend $157,000, get enough votes to do that, to light that Pinky's Park up in that walkway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, it just seems like there's, you know, if there's a good idea out there, then somebody seems like, well, let's just stop the music on this.
Mm.
Let's take the 80,000 or 90,000 from ONC and do it halfway, and then maybe something else will come out of this. When they could have just taken it, and I believe that I heard at that council meeting, the city has plenty of money in their reserves to do this, and it was less than 1% to do this lighting on this Pinky's Park.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for this to die because somebody wanted to say, we'll do it halfway instead of just doing it all the way and getting it over with, just doesn't make any sense to me. So I have to give a shout-out to Councilman Williams, Councilman Charles, and Councilman Barr for standing up and, you know, say, hey, let's do the right thing and do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it failed because there was 2 votes against it. So, anyway, that's
okay.
what I have to say. But
mm-hmm.
something that wouldn't have cost a lot of money and would have benefited a lot of people
mm-hmm.
got shot down because 2 council members didn't want to go for it because it wasn't their idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I'll just stop right there and let it go at that. But you guys have a good Friday.
Mm.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike, for
Thanks,
calling.
Mike. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Pinky's is the main public park, and they also have added a field to Pinky's, right?
A new
field. So as it's developing and being used more and more, would be great if there was that lighting.
Yes.
So I don't know the whole story, so maybe there'll be a report on that. But anyway, okay, so we have our lines are open,
mm-hmm.
and we have about, maybe about 10, well.
Maybe less than 10.
A little less than 10 minutes, so squeeze your call in if you can.
Okay, 7 minutes.
7 minutes left, yeah.
Okay.
So that 7 minutes could belong to you.
Yes.
If you'd like to call in. And we'll
the number to call, 543-KYUK. That's 5985 543-2756 800-995-8954.
Okay, and you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. All right, so we've had a lot of really great calls, people bringing up, there's an email, so I will go to the email. See if it gets downloaded. Oh, there we go. Okay. Here is my email. Donlin Gold subject update.
Okay.
There are 18 tribes from and throughout the YK Delta region who have passed opposing resolutions against this mine. We are encouraging other tribes to step up and help us defend the Kuskokwim River for its known abundance of fish and for all the communities living along this river. This river is known for its subsistence values. It's our connection to the way of life because we gather our foods from it to help feed our families. We harvest salmon, whitefish, shefish, lushfish, smelts, and others. We are planning on having another protest march sometime before this month is over. We are welcoming other communities nearby to walk with us, whether it be in their villages during the same time we march here in Bethel. And if they do, they should take pictures and share them with us through our Facebook or send through email. And you can email Mary Mathias, and her email is M, as in M&M, A-T-T-H-I-A-S at nativecouncil.org. I think that the Facebook page might be the Yukon-Kuskokwim River Alliance, and you can post photos there, or you can also post them. There's a No Donlin Gold Facebook page. Okay. And I'm the one that gave the two Facebook pages. She didn't. I'm just guessing that that's the Facebook page she meant. All right. We have a caller, Bob, from Bethel. Good morning, Bob. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah, good morning. I want to go back to one of your early callers, and you had a man who called in and delivered a racist rant about not having native food stores in Bethel, and we get a lot of racism on this program, and you almost never react to it, and it gets really annoying, to at least to some of it.
Tell us what was racist about wanting native food in stores.
Well, the man who called in, his message was that for some reason there was someone or the community in general preventing a native store with native foods from being opened in Bethel. And, I mean, go back and listen to it. It's just dripping with racism. And the fact is that if the community would buy these foods, there would be a store here. And there's nothing to prevent him from opening his own store, although it would seem that he felt that there is something there. The fact is that the stores here in Bethel and in the villages have a huge amount of junk food, crap that has no nutritional value, and is bought in great amounts. And that's because people demand it. And if you look at the population of Bethel, about a third is non-native. So these stores would not be stocking this junk if the native community, we're not buying it. So to put that on some group of people is suppressing native food from being sold in this community or any community is just silly. But if you go back and where he says native, you put in white, you just see how racist all that statement is, and it gets tiresome after a while. And you don't respond to it at all. You just accept it and go on from there.
I guess because it doesn't strike me as racist. I mean, I think it's okay for people to long for or want to see foods they're familiar with in a grocery store. I don't think there's anything wrong with pointing that out. I think that's what he was doing.
Well, he was going beyond that. If you go back and listen to it, he was suggesting that there's some effort to suppress that. In my opinion, that's what I got out of it, and that's just a bunch of nonsense. The stores respond to demand, and they're going to stock what sells. And if these foods sold, they would stock them. Mm-hmm. But by and large, they stock a lot of non-nutritional, high-calorie, high-processed foods that aren't good for any of us. Mm-hmm. But that's what people want. That's what they buy.
Mm-hmm.
And if the other part of it is, if you want these wild foods, I mean, have at it. No one is stopping people from fishing. Year round, we have fish that we can catch, fresh fish. We have birds that we can hunt most of the year. We have moose that we can hunt a good part of the year. There's nothing to prevent people from basically living on wild foods. You can also, in a very small plot of land, grow all kinds of fresh foods during the summer. I grow potatoes in tires. I grow peas and salad greens in flower pots. And, so no one's come along and said, you can't do that. So to suggest that there's some effort to suppress people from eating foods that they prefer to eat is ridiculous. And I'm telling you, in my opinion, it's racist.
It's racist against what population?
Against non-natives.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, I challenge you to go back and listen to what he said. He was quite, he had, in my opinion, quite an angry tone to his voice, as though someone was preventing him from getting these foods.
Yeah, I think I just heard it different. I've got a pretty fine-tuned ear for racism, and I did not detect that in his what he expressed.
Permit me to disagree.
Okay.
Several years ago, there was a woman who called up, and she went through, again, this racist rant, and I had recorded it, and I transcribed it and put it in an email, and I sent it to the station manager to be read on the show. But where every place where she said native, I put in white.
Uh-huh.
And he emailed me back. He said, well, we can't run this on the show. It's racist.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, here you go. This is what you actually permitted to be broadcast verbatim, word for word, except I changed white where it was native.
Yeah.
And so you think you're fine-tuned, but try that trick.
Okay.
Substitute those words and then see how.
Uh-oh, now it's getting loud.
Yeah,
so they want to get us going here. Yeah, that was over 5 minutes, so thank you, Bob.
Yeah, okay.
I welcome
good
that call and feedback.
Yep, bye-bye.
Yeah.
All
right. Okay. Well, I guess we're winding down.
Yes, we are.
And in a serious way.
Yeah. But we had a good.
What a great show.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for your calls, your emails. We really enjoyed it. There was a lot of different topics, real heartfelt. I felt the sincerity in people's comments, and we really thank you and welcome more of that.
Yeah.
And we will hear you, and you'll hear us next Friday at 10 o'clock on Talkline.
Everyone, have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Remember your life preservers when you go boating or near the water. So everyone have a wonderful weekend.